another reason why I'm here, and that is for the purpose of redemption. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about. It's not spiritual. I was here 10 years ago, and we were here with a bunch of EM pastors, and we wanted to have Hong Kong experience, right? And so they were raving about this jumbo shrimp. So we went to this restaurant to have jumbo shrimp. I think it was like one of your floating boat restaurants. Well, anyway, when we got there, there were no jumbo shrimps. Somehow it was all sold out, we're out of season or something. We couldn't afford it or something. We had like 20 people, you know. So this is the time of redemption for me.
Amen.
So my stay here in Hong Kong is in your hands. I want to be redeemed. Well, as you know, really, I don't know, a lot of you guys are here, I think, who were here last night and heard some testimonies. And the testimonies about our relationship and all those kind of things, we have two versions, right? So this is Bob's version, and I have the authentic, the true version, the King James version, I should say. But we travel all the time. And last year, as he was bragging about how many days that he traveled, 265 days or something like that, right? I said, honey, I don't know why you're going around bragging about those kind of things. Actually, as your wife, I need inner healing because of all the traveling that you're doing. I just want you to stay home a little bit. And you know what his solution was? That he wanted me to travel with him. So last year, I traveled, like half of our traveling was together, and this year as well. But we had great time because we're such a different individuals. Him and I, we have exactly opposite personality. We, you know, if you know like the Myers-Briggs personality test, he is completely opposite, you know, than mine. And we have a very different calling. I'm not talking about, you know, full-time. We're both full-time ministers, and I'm an ordained pastor as well. But he is an apostle. He's a guy who breaks through things. You know, there's a pioneering, that kind of spirit. You know, I'm in healing. You know, God called me as inner healer. And I do prophetic and inner healing ministry. And so when I do, he goes to places and he does these breakthrough messages. And then everybody gets blessed and they're all like slain in the spirit. And what happens afterwards? I have to do the cleanup job. It's all this deliverance and healing going on, right? That people are stirred up in the spirit and they need direction. They need healing. They need nurturing and comfort. And that's where I come in. So though we are very different people, I think it's a beautiful thing when, you know, at our age, we're hitting, you know, in our 50s soon. Okay, he's 2 years younger than me, by the way, so I'm going to hit it sooner than him. But as we hit our 50s, way beyond middle age, I think it's really a true blessing that in Christian marriage, that truly, that we grow to love each other and to be able to live a full life, not just as an individual, but as a couple in a most beautiful way. And we're experiencing the best stage, best time of our life right now. Our kids are all grown up. They're all independent. We have a 23-year-old, two 23-year-olds, two 21-year-olds, and one 18-year-old. No, I didn't have twins. Two of them are adopted. So we have five children at home. And we just, you know, they're all grown up, and this is a stage where we could go and do a lot of things for the Lord. So we're really happy to be here, and I'm just really blessed to be here. You know, as I was praying for your church, Solomon's Porch, you know, what a unique name, right? I feel so, how could I say, just a desire to bless you. And I just feel God's heart for this church. Not only because you guys came, 10 people, worship team came to Cambodia. This is the place where we have our missions. We do missions in Cambodia and Siberia. But you guys came and you blessed us. You know, you blessed us with your presence, with your gifts and talents. And monetary too, you know, monetary blessings as well in the mission field that's needed. And we are so blessed. But what I feel like God is saying to you is that as your church is growing wider, God is saying to go deeper. So it's really about being deep and wide. As you root deep into, as you transform and become the likeness of Christ, that your sphere of influence and as an individual, as a church, will grow wider. And I'm very excited for you. And I know that you guys are, many of you guys are just from everywhere, yeah? You're international. I ask your church people, so what kind of people do you have in your church? Well, there's always this big pause. They're just from everywhere, you know? And it's a good thing. It's wonderful that as you go, you know, it's not just about group dynamic. It's not about this church, but it's about you as an individual who makes up this great church. And as an individual, as a community, when you learn what it means to go deep rooted with God, that truly no matter where you go, you're going to influence in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
With that, I want to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Speak to us, Lord, your heart and your love. Give us joy, Lord, that it's not about just healing. It's not about just relationships, Lord, but it's about becoming one with you. And through that love relationship, Father, that we can overcome all things. We could truly overcome mountains. Even those stubborn sins and areas, Lord, that we struggle with all our lives, Lord. So, Father, we ask, Lord, your Holy Spirit to come and convict and transform each one of us, Lord. And Lord, we ask for your covering, your protection over this place as we do spiritual ministries. We ask that you send your holy angels and surround this place. We ask, Lord, that you cover our loved ones, our family, our ministry that we are involved in, Lord, all the things that belong to us. We ask for your supernatural covering. Holy Spirit, come and just speak your heart, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Bishop talked about fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, denying fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit actually means that there is the indwelling presence of God. That we live in this indwelling presence of God. That's what it means to live in and having the fruit of the Spirit. But as much as the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, there are areas in our lives that we struggle with, you know, strongholds that the Bible talks about as well. Okay? I want to, you know, I've been doing inner healing ministry for what? 13 years now, since 95. And it's been a long time. And you know, Bishop jokingly says that, oh, it's because of him that I got into inner healing. Actually, it's true. If you've been married as long as we have, even the most wonderful relationships go through times of pain, times of hurt, okay? And I think that we're no exception, even though we have a great marriage, you know. But it's this thing that we, even though we are Christians, and we are, even though we are walking in the will, in the center of God's will, there are areas in our lives that that we could be in bondage, you know, in a stronghold. Let's look at John chapter 15. Verse 1 through 2. John chapter 15, 1 to 2. As you're looking it up, I want to just share. You know, I asked God, Lord, what does inner healing look like? I mean, what exemplifies what this ministry is all about? One day I was walking in a park, And I was just, you know, having quiet time walking in the park, and I saw this huge, green, lush, you know, luscious tree. And as I was looking at it and thinking, I was just kind of like meditating, what, you know, how do I picture, if I were to picture what inner healing ministry looked like, how would it be? And as I was meditating on it, that there was a revelation from the Lord. Because I was looking at that beautiful tree, and as I was seeing this tree, I saw like a branch that had, it was part of the tree, but it had no leaves on it. And it was just brown, you know. And I realized that it was a dead branch. And it wasn't attached to the main tree. I think that's how it is. I think that's a perfect picture of what inner healing ministry is all about. Why we need inner healing. It's that we're so alive in Christ. When we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that our spiritual life is alive, you know, and people could see the difference. But there are things in our life that does not belong. It's like that dead branch, you know. It's so much part of us, and so much, sometimes we think that it is really us. But actually, it isn't. It doesn't belong. And this, can someone read the verse, John 15, 1 through 2? Amen. That's right. Jesus said, I'm gonna reiterate that. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. The Bible recognizes that although we are spiritual Christians, that we have these fruit of the spirits in our lives, that there are areas that God, our Father, who has wonderfully created us and put us into a garden, you know, and did not leave us in a wilderness to just be who we are and just grow. But he placed us in a garden, and he himself called himself a gardener. Our Father is the gardener. Now, have you been to a garden where you just leave it? If you just left the garden, what happens? It becomes a wilderness, right? The garden is a garden because there is a gardener. And that's how God works through us. That he cuts off every branch, every weed in us that does not bear fruit. And it's a continual process. It's a sanctification process, actually, you know. So inner healing is, well, I don't need inner healing. I'm very healthy. I'm normal, right? Okay, it's for, you know, someone like, you know who, right? That kind of thing. Oh, sorry. I was purposely trying to point this direction. But, you know, people, you know, we often think that, well, inner healing is not for me. That's what I used to think about myself. I'm a pastor's wife. You know, I'm spiritual, I'm discipled, and all those kind of things. So why do I need inner healing? I didn't know that I need so much inner healing until I went to an inner healing counseling 13 years ago, right? And then I went there only because I wanted to learn about inner healing so I could help other people as a pastor's wife. But lo and behold, I was pretty messed up. And the Holy Spirit revealed that to me. And ever since then, that, you know, I've been doing this kind of ministry. But inner healing is really for everybody. Because as long as we are humans, that there are areas in our lives that we have difficulties. It could be in the area of fear. Okay, I'm gonna give you five major areas that we struggle with. One is definitely in the area of fear or sadness. Shame, anger, even in the area of deception. The reason why these areas are strongholds is that because it consumes our life, it competes. It competes its attention with the attention that we need to give to the Lord. That when we have these areas, these stronghold areas, that the process of sanctification gets arrested, and that we don't grow spiritually because it competes with our total commitment and heart to the Lord. I'm going to give you some examples of the inner healing, because I've been doing this ministry for so long that I have so many cases that that I have that I could give you an example of the areas why you need inner healing. But these names are all changed, okay? So it's not really their names, okay? Amy. Amy came up to me after a really great revival meeting that we had. And she came up to me, "Pastor Jenny, I don't know why, but I just can't get close with Jesus. I just, every time that I try to get, you know, this idea of being close to Jesus, that, you know, something in me just repels. I don't know why." So I pray with her. And as I was praying, the Lord gave me a vision of her when she was young, when she was a little girl. The vision was that, "Well, Amy, you know, I don't know what this is, but, you know, Lord gave me a vision that you were a little girl, and that you were on top of a slide coming down, and Jesus telling you to come down, Amy. And then you just shaked your head and you refused to come down to Jesus. Now, what is that all about? What do you think that vision means?" And she said, "Oh my God." And she pulled me aside and then, you know, asked me if, you know, we could do counseling. So I talked to her. What happened was, when Amy was a little girl, she was a latchkey kid. And she had to go home by herself without the parents. When she was 9 years old, it happened. That neighborhood, the next door man would come, and every time she comes home, he would molest her. So there was a molestation that she knows when she was little. And this went on for 3 years, and she couldn't tell anybody. And she was only 9 years old. And, you know, her memory of this was vague, but she remembers. And this the vision triggered. The reason why is that as much as she knew in her adult mind that Jesus is God, but as a little girl, there was a traumatic experience in her emotions that caused her to repel any image of man. So there was a great fear that was that held her life captive. That was the stronghold. And that affected her relationship with Jesus, because as an adult, she knew that Jesus was God. But as a little girl, emotion that's inside her that was damaged, what happened was that any resemblance of man was repelling to her. And so she couldn't get close to Jesus. So we had to address this and go back to the time. And so she was wonderfully delivered from that fear. And now, 3 years later, I met her, 3 or 5 years later. And you know, she always had problem with men, fear of men. And so she could never really have that kind of healthy relationship with men. And I found out later that I met her, like, I can't remember, 3 or 5 years later, and she was married and had a child. So it was a wonderful thing that I saw that she was delivered from. That's one example of living in fear. Laura came to me because she has suicidal thoughts. There was, every time that I see her, she's a wonderful Christian, and yet there's always something so sad about her. She was always grieving, you know. And then also there was an outburst of anger. You know, she was angry. You know, it just like exploded. And then, so we prayed because she was complaining about she's not able to sleep at night, you know. I mean, you know, a lot of times when people come to me for inner healing, they don't really tell me the real problem, right? They just tell me, okay, well, it's like this. It's a very, like, surface level or physical. So that's why listening prayer is such a big part of this ministry of inner healing, to be able to really operate in the just the supernatural and really listening. And I think, you know, in psychology too, right? We go back to our childhood. I major in psychology. So, you know, those are the kind of things that we do. But what happens as Christians, that we are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes and He reveals things, it's so simple and yet so to the point. So that's what happens in a healing, that we do listening prayer, and God gives us just the inclinations, the intuitions or vision. A lot of times, for me, I see things in visions. Okay, so she came and was complaining about sleeplessness. I'm going, okay, so let's pray. You know, let's see what the Lord says about this. Well, it wasn't the issue of sleeplessness. It was really an issue of her not being able to say goodbye to her father, who passed away many years ago. So there was still a spirit of death and spirit of sadness and grief that was attached to her. And so as we were praying, what she felt, and she also just know how to move in the spirit. She was one of our, you know, leaders, and she's very spiritual, and she was able to see things. And she also was seeing a vision that Jesus came to her, and Jesus asked her to take off the clothes of mourning, because it's time to let go of the dead. She was very close to her father. There was a soul tie that she wasn't able to break with her father. So the Lord told her to exchange the robe of mourning to this white and pure robe of righteousness. So spiritually, as we're praying, you know, we exchange that kind of thing. And she was wonderfully delivered from this spirit of death and constant. Ever since she was little, she could remember that she had this, if something goes wrong, it's just a little bit of thing, something, you know, touched her, that she would go straight into this wanting and playing out the act of dying or committing suicide. And that was, she was delivered from that, you know. And many times when you have spirit of death or idolatry, like if you had ancestral stuff, like kind of shamanism or idol worship, and you had false prophets in your family, it goes deep into death, spirit of death. Also confusion, mental illness, that kind of thing. I see as I do in a healing, it's toward that kind of things that the enemy really has bondage over us when we have that kind of generational stuff. But she had that kind of spirit of death attached to her. And so we had to cast that out. And so she was really wonderfully delivered from that. Another case was Jude. It's funny how although I changed the names, it's kind of similar to the actual person. So I'm thinking about that person. I'm just laughing because it's so funny. But anyway, this Jude had this case of anger, because when she was young, her parents split up, okay? Her parents had a fight, and they had this horrible fight when she was 4 years old. And this was a case of childhood trauma, okay? They fought, and they both split. The mom said, okay, I don't want to live with you, I'm going, okay? The father says, well, I don't want to live with you, and I'm not staying here either. And he left. Now, there was Jude, who was 4 years old, and her younger sister was only 2 years old. They left these two little children in the house, and they just took off, you know? I mean, you think that that's outrageous. How can parents do that? What they do, you know? A lot of times, this inner healing, traumatic, I mean, that's why it's traumatic. It is something that happened that is out of the ordinary when we're young, and it affects us deeply. So because of that, she had this problem with anger. And when I ministered to her, in this area of anger, she immediately went into a childlike position. She was like a child again, and she was more like moaning about just of the anger and the things that she felt. And though I tried to helper to be delivered, I couldn't. Why? Because her problem was with all the mother figures. And I was her spiritual mother. So to me, I was one of those people. Jude, as an adult, you know, she knows, you know, that it is not that I am here to help her. But as a child, at the emotions, she was not able to separate me from the hatred and anger that she had for mothers. Okay, so I had to, you know, think of Lord, and how do I deal with these kind of cases where that I cannot really separate her from the person that has perpetrated this this kind of anger and stronghold. So I had I was praying, and God gave me this great idea, and that is that, okay, well, you cannot speak to her, but adult Jude can speak to the child Jude. So I had her talk to me, and I told her, you know, I think the child inside you is really you know, wanting to be free, but she can't because I cannot minister to her. So why don't you talk to her? So she actually had a personality. She was struggling with two different personalities, or actually the childish Jude and the adult Jude were talking together. I mean, this sounds kind of crazy, right? But a lot of crazy things happen when you minister this way. And it's like, you know, we think that we're all so normal, right? You seem so normal. You guys seem so normal. But actually, we are very, you know, God created us so intricately, you know. And there are a lot of things that in us that as the Holy Spirit exposes, that we'll see that really it's complex, you know. And yet, when the Holy Spirit exposes, He does not expose to judge us, to say that we're really messed up. But when the Holy Spirit exposes, it's because He wants to heal us. And a lot of times that I think it's the work, really the work of the enemy, even in churches, that, you know, people that we like to gossip, right? We like to, you know, talk about, well, you know, she's really, I think it's like this. I think she needs prayer. But, you know, she's really has this kind of issue. A lot of times that instead of, we have to really search our hearts and ask ourselves, am I really desiring to expose, and am I trying to really minister to that person out of love, or is it out of desire to be judgmental or critical, you know? So I think that in an inner healing, the atmosphere in which that we minister to other people is that is the atmosphere of healing. And we need to really distinguish that the Holy Spirit, that there's nothing to fear, that there's no shame, because He comes and heals us rather than expose us for to criticize us. So there is that safety. But anyway, so she was able to minister to her child, the child that she of herself, and was wonderfully delivered. Okay. Another case, Joe. Joe had a problem with wandering mind. Okay, and this was after he went through inner healing and everything. After he went through some major boulders, major issues of his life, he took care of all those kind of things. And yet, he realized that, and nobody knew about this, but, you know, he realized later on, after that, all these, you know, the big issues have been taken care of, that he had problem with wandering mind. How does he know that? That he was taking classes, right, in college. And in every time he took a class, he always picked big classes, big lecture halls, where there's 300, 500, 1,000 people, right? But he really could not take small classes. He really avoided those kind of things. Reason why is because he was so afraid that as he is listening to the professor, that if the professor caught him and pointed to him and asked him questions, that his mind will be somewhere else, that he would be like drifted, you know. I don't know. I think a lot of people don't even recognize that as a stronghold. I think people think that it's, oh, well, you know, just my personality or that's just who I am. But a lot of times, people struggle with fantasies and wandering minds. You know, they can't distinguish what is fantasy and what is reality. And so people that has composite lying, who are really, you know, going through the spirit of deception, have this, they can't distinguish the deception, the reality and the fantasy. But anyway, Joe had this kind of problem. So we had to do a generational kind of thing because it wasn't about, it wasn't really an issue of being hurt, but it was an issue of really this tendency, the family tendency. The reason why you would do a breaking of the generational curse, and I know that some of you guys, actually I wanted to ask you, how many of you guys heard of the term inner healing or familiar with the inner healing or generation, breaking of the generational curse? Raise your hands. Quite a few of you. I think more than half of you guys have, right? Yeah, it used to be a very kind of a new ministry. And yet, nowadays, I think most of the big churches, and because we teach this in seminaries, that we are really aware of these things. But this, you know, when you, how do you know you have a problem in this area? Is that it's not just you, but you see that same stronghold or characteristics that happens in your family members, like your brother and sister, or you see that in your parents or your grandparents, your uncles. So it's this kind of a similar trait. Well, Joe found out that it's not just, he knew that his sister had this problem with compulsive lying, but he didn't have this problem, right? But he realized that what he has is wandering mind, that he somehow cannot focus. And because of that, every time, and he was one of the leaders at church, every time he had to teach a Bible study, or he had to really focus on this kind of being able to make presentation, he couldn't. When he had to write papers, that it was really hard for him. So this, his mind keeps shifting, you know. So we know that it was something that he was born with. It was innate, that it came from generation to generation. And these are the kind of things that that we, I see in the areas. But also, there's problems or strongholds that comes from deception and unhealthy habits. Like I had recently had one of the leaders at church. She came up to me and she told me, "Pastor Jenny, I don't know what to do because, you know, like I never had a boyfriend. I'm not into pornography or anything like that, but I don't know why, but every time in a church, when I see pastor up in the pulpit, I imagine, you know, a sexual man, you know? So I don't know what's going on. I mean, can you help me? Because this is really bothering me. It keeps me from having any kind of healthy relationship with a brother in Christ because I have this kind of these thoughts that pop up. So as we're praying, the Lord reminded her about this one time. And then it was because she couldn't remember, but I saw a vision of this empty house. And I saw something like a pornographic magazine or something like that. So I asked her, when you were a child, have you encountered those kind of things? And at first she said, no, I never see these kind of things. You know, my father's a pastor. So, you know, we don't see these kind of things. We don't have these kind of things in the material, in the house. And then as we're praying, God reminded her when she was 5 years old that they moved to a new house. And in this new house, it was kind of lived in and they didn't clean whatever that they had all the way. And she remembered, aha moment, that she remembers that when she was little, she didn't know what it was, but she was, she saw a bunch of magazines. It was a Playboy magazine. And so she was looking, but because she was so young, she didn't know what it was. So, you know, she was looking, and she remembered that, but she didn't connect the two, you know. And then, but when we were praying, the Holy Spirit reminded her that at that point, because it's subliminally, because she didn't really understand or comprehend what it was, that it affected her, but she didn't understand how. So we had to pray and go back when she was young, and we had to really pray and for deliverance for those kind of things. So those are the kind of an example of, you know, the cases that I believe that people have, you know, and these are the areas that I deal with. Let's turn to Matthew 5:43. And if somebody could read it, it'd be great. Wait a minute. Is it Matthew?
Okay. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
Yeah, can you continue on until the whole parable?
But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who protect you, so that you may be sons of the Father who is in heaven.
Amen. Okay. That is a verse on forgiveness and really loving your enemies. But who is your enemy? Who is your enemy? It's not people. It's not strangers. If you think about it, we're not in a war situation where we have a defined enemy. Enemy in the context of what Jesus was talking about is those people that are important to you, those who are very close to, that you see on a daily basis. Okay, and those are the people that Jesus said to love. If he strikes you on the right cheek, you know, it's, can you imagine if you're right-handed? Jesus said, how can you, it's kind of hard to, you know, like, can I have a demonstration? I mean, if you're right-handed, which most people are, you hit his left cheek, right? But then if you are, the Jesus said, if you hit someone on the right cheeks, it's like this. So you're not only hurting them, but it's also a humiliation, like, you know, that kind of thing. In Jewish culture at the time, that was like really the lowest of the lows that you could blow on someone. But Jesus said, when you someone hits you on the right cheek, give him also your left, you know? And go on, you know, if someone takes you 1 mile, go 2 miles. If someone takes your cloak, give him your robe as well. So it is, that is the kind of thing that Jesus requires of us. But how can we? How can we? You know, Jesus said, be perfect, therefore your Heavenly Father is perfect. Okay? I believe that Jesus didn't say that you must reconcile. You reconcile your relationship with those around you. It's not about, you know, making your enemy your friend. But it's about, Jesus said, it's about forgiveness. See, there's a difference between forgiving someone and being able to make the relationship right and reconciliation. You know, how can you reconcile with father who passed away, who you had this grudge over for so many years? You know, you can, because that person is no longer there to make that reconciliation. But in the Bible, Jesus said, you must be able to forgive those who trespass against you. There's a difference. I think forgiving is an act of participation of responding to evil with good. It's not, you know, it's not that what they deserve, but with grace and mercy. The Bible say, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You know, as a Christian, I think even especially in the body of Christ, in the context of church, we can be so sacrificial that we can serve the church and serve each other and all those kind of things. But in your heart, do you have mercy? There is a difference. A lot of times that we serve and we go to church with hardened hearts, with a heart of stone, that we can, it's just like that the t-shirt that Nate was wearing. Same, same, but different, right? Same, same, but different. We can look same, and we can act same, but it's different. When you are truly have the heart of mercy and forgiveness, and you're set free, and when you are doing it out of religious sacrifice, and God desire for us to be set free and to be able to really live the life of sanctification, and so the forgiveness is a part. It's an active part, and we, you know, like it really is a lie of the enemy that said, "Oh, you're a Christian, so suck it up." You know, forget it and forget about it. It's okay. You know, don't think it's such a big deal. That's not true. That's not what God desired for us to be. And that is not the way of in which that we become free. God wants us to confront that very thing that hurts us. A lot of times we don't even know what those things are. So in inner healing, when we desire to be healed, we need to recognize that these are the areas that we need healing in. And some of the indicators are that you have, that every time you think of a memory, that it invokes a certain kind of emotions. Like in the past, you know, something happened to you, and that you have that kind of memory, and every time you think about it, it invokes certain kind of like anger, or sadness, or shame. You know, so you need healing in that area. Or that it could be like a mental picture, that when you lie down and you're not doing anything, and then these kind of pictures come to you. Remember that time, you know, that those things happen, and it brings some kind of, and then also it's like a persistent thought, like somebody hurts you and you can't, you know, you can't break away from it, but it grabs you, and then you're constantly thinking about those kind of things. So those kind of those are the indicators that you need inner healing. Okay. So then, how do we become redeemed, right? Not just with jumbo shrimp, but I mean, you know, how do you become free? I think there are some processes in which that we can be set free. You know, many of you guys are older. You know, you guys are not in college anymore, right? How many of you guys are college students here, actually? Wow, all of you guys are working, or, you know, some of you guys are not working, but you guys are adults, right? Yeah? And you guys had relationships in the past, you know? And there are those areas in your life that you need to receive healing. But what are those things, okay? I believe there are three R's, okay? Three R's of redemption. One is revelation. The Holy Spirit brings out that into our conscience level, okay? I always imagine what this is like going to a Korean bathhouse. Has anybody gone to Korean bathhouse before? Raise your hands. You are truly, yeah, right, yeah. That's one of my favorite activities. Going to a bathhouse and just relaxing, you know, I call it my mental health day. But when you go and you're soaked in this, you know, a hot water for a long time, what happens? Like your day comes out, right? The dead skin comes out easily, right? So that's how it is with inner healing, that when you are really soaking the Spirit, when as you go closer and closer to God and you pray in this Holy Spirit, what happens is that He exposes. He exposes those areas and bring it down into a conscience level. Okay? So first thing is that God brings revelation in your life. And we're going to do some activation today in that area. Second is reconciliation. Reconciliation with the one offense of the one who caused sin, you know, or that you need to forgive yourself who sinned, or you need to reconcile with God who allowed it. Some of us have this anger toward God, and we dare not to say that. But there is this really big question mark that you have about God. Okay, I was in Kazakhstan at the beginning of this year. I was doing inner healing seminar, and afterwards, people signed up for counseling sessions. And there were like lines and lines of people, and it was just, oh my gosh, it was amazing. But I had a chance to minister to this one lady. And the first thing she said, she told me about her story about her abusive husband, and how that she ran away to this seminary, and it was in a seminary circle, and how she ran away, and she was attending a seminary, and she's first thing she said is, "I'm not going back, you know, don't tell me to go back to my husband." And she thought naturally, me being a pastor, that I was gonna say, "Well, you need to get back to your husband, and you know, stick to it, and that kind of thing, you know," because she had children and stuff. But I said, no, I'm not going to tell you that. Let's just pray and see what God says. Okay? And as soon as we're praying, her and I both knew that there was a presence of God. You know, and so healing happens in this presence where the Holy Spirit and the counselor is a partner. There's a partnership. And that's why I love doing inner healing, counseling, because it's not about me imparting wisdom. But it's about doing something with the partnership with the Holy Spirit. And you're ministering together. We're all in it together. The one who's receiving, one who is giving the counseling, and the Holy Spirit. We're all listening to the Holy Spirit. So as we're praying, the Lord made me to do a prayer of healing. And as we're praying, I saw a picture of Jesus. Putting a yellow flower on a door handle. And I told her that. I said, you know, I don't know what this is about, but I feel like Jesus was, Jesus was there, and that he put a yellow flower on a door handle. What does this mean to you? And she just freaked out. She said, oh my gosh, you know. When, many years ago, when I was living with my husband, and it was such an abusive relationship because he was an alcoholic. He would come home every day drunk. And he would beat me. And he would beat the children. I was so afraid of him that every time around 5 o'clock when he comes, I would hide in a flower field of yellow flowers. And until he came and fell asleep. And then I would come in the house. But when I told her that I saw a vision of Jesus putting the yellow flower on the door handle, immediately there was a healing taking place, because she realized that Jesus was there. Jesus knew what she was going through. It wasn't about that she was alone and suffering the abuse that she had, but that he was never alone. And she always questioned, even though she was going to seminary and all that, she questioned, why do I have to? You know, why did Jesus make me go through this? You know, why was I so long? Where was he when I was going through these kind of things? You know, but there was, God revealed through the Holy Spirit that Jesus was there going through it. And it was a very supernatural experience. So the healing took place. There, and I think that is because of that, she's able to forgive. You know, it's not like, well, because we're Christians that we need to forgive, because, you know, all those kind of things. But if you feel you are the victim, how can you truly forgive? You know? But doesn't that Mark chapter 9 says, whoever causes this little ones to sin, it's better for that person to be tied down by a millstone and be thrown into the ocean? Well, in that story, how many sinners are there? Two, right? The one who causes the little one to sin and the little one who sinned, right? So even though we may be a victim of, you know, childhood abuse or circumstances in our life, that through our victimization, that we also are the perpetrator, that we do the same thing that what has been done to us. And that's why it goes through generation to generation. We have to break that in our life. And so that we are without any excuse, even though we are the victim, we were the victim. And that's the justification that we have in bringing healing to that person. Because, you know, without that, you know, how can we say, well, you need to forgive, honey, because, you know, you need to be a good Christian. No. It is because that without being able to forgive, without us aligning ourselves with God in forgiveness, because that's what forgiveness is, aligning ourselves to God's will. If we can't do that, we can't be free. And God knows that. That's why He wants us. If we have, you know, before you come to me and you all make your offering onto me, that you go, if you have something against your, if the brother has something against you, you need to go and make it right, right? So that's, God is in His mercy made it so that we can be able to forgive and to be set free, even though we have been victimized. That we, the sin of anger, sin of unforgiveness, will not perpetrate in our life. That's why we need to forgive. Amen? Also, the third is that after we pray, whether we're praying that to forgive those who offend us, or that we're praying of our own sins, that we're asking God, you know, we're repenting of the sins that we caused, or that that kind of questions that we have about God, you know, when those things are taken care of and we repent and pray for reconciliation, God brings the ability, authority to have, to be set free from deliverance. You know, many times that it's like this, and I'm sure you guys have read some books on inner healing, but you know that I study under Chuck Kraft, and he's a professor at Fuller. And I've read many books, but one of the analogies that I love is that, you know, the devil will come and dwell in us and bring strongholds, but he will not do that if your heart is clean. It is because there's something in us, you know, that has caused that there is uncleanness in us through hatred or anger, through a deception or whatever it is. So it's like the analogy that he uses that rats come when there is garbage, right? When you have garbage emotions, that rats love to dwell on it. And in the beginning, that, you know, the anger or this, you know, habits, whatever it is, that you sin. But after a while, what happens is that the stronghold, the enemy within you controls whatever the emotions that is in you. So you might want to, you know, think, why is it that I'm trying so hard, you know, but I still struggle with these things. I feel like I don't have control over it. I feel like it's just like something that is just something else is controlling. It's not me, these thoughts, right? Yeah, it is. It is not you. It is the enemy within you. And you know, you might ask, well, I'm a Christian. How can, you know, how can the enemy come and, you know, dwell in me, right? Well, actually, I can't really 100% know, but it seems to me that from my experience and also from the biblical example, that the enemy can come and influence and impact us. Sometimes it can even dwell in us, you know, because in the spirit, in our core, that the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Christ, who is the anointed one that lives in us, right? The enemy cannot touch our spirit because the spirit man is already, our spirit, who we are is written in the book of life, and the enemy can't take that away. But we have a soulish realm. What is soulish? Our thoughts, our minds, right? Our emotions and our will. That's considered soul, in the area of soul. The enemy attacks in our emotions, in our decision making, in our thoughts. Sometimes enemy attacks physically. Those of us that have had, you know, have these areas of relationships. Maybe you had, you know, unhealthy relationships, or you had areas in the area of sexual sin. Now your body has been also impacted or defiled in that way before marriage. And when that happens, that it's not only your emotions. The reason why it's so difficult is because your body also remembers. And because of that, that there needs to be a deliverance in all aspects of who we are. So in a healing, that we what we do is that we really go into really sometimes we need physical healing taking place. And we pray specifically physical as well as emotional. So these are the areas that we need healing in, and God delivers us from these. Now, see, it's been about an hour, more than an hour. I'm going to take this, so this is more of a teaching session, so I'm going to take some questions. And then after that, we're going to pray, okay? If you have any questions at this time. Oh, did I miss that? Oh my gosh, I'm getting so old. Sorry. Redemption. Redemption is the third R. Because what does redemption? What does God promise? He says, for if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? You know? God gave us salvation, but he gave us freedom and redemption. And he says in Isaiah 55:13, instead of thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. Right? There is a redemptive purpose. It's not only about healing. But why do we need to be healed? So that we can live the life of fruitfulness. So that all those things for example, those of you who struggle with idolatry, you know, in really sacrificing and living your life in focus on because of money, you know, or worshiping of something that is idolatry. Now, when you're redeemed, God redeems you wonderfully. It doesn't mean that you have to give up, you know. You have to give up like, oh, now money, making money is evil. No. What does he do? He redirects, right? God redeems and sanctifies the very thing that has been our stronghold. People who are really living a life of, you know, that of idolatry, when you give it up to the Lord, that could be used for great purposes of God. So I think that is the when we pray for a blessing. I remember a couple. The couple had a really bad start in their marriage. You know, both of the parents disagreed. Both of the parents were opposing to their marriage. And you know, she asked me to pray for her. But as soon as I prayed for her, there was a problem. It was a problem of stronghold, and she was just falling off the chair and doing all kinds of things. What I found out, that father-in-law, he was a mentally ill person. He cursed her. He cursed this woman for coming into his, you know, household. And then he cursed her, and then a week later, he committed a suicide. Okay? So this kind of things that has entered into her, her who she was, and there was a really big problem. So we did deliverance and all those kind of things, and Pastor O helped, and we did wonderfully set this couple free. But what they needed was more than healing. They needed a blessing. So what we did was we got all the elders and the pastors from the church, and as a substitute for their parents, we started blessing them. We blessed their socks off, right? And this couple was so grateful because, you know, they never received blessings from neither of the parents. You know, it was all curses. But they were delivered and wonderfully healed. And not only that, but, you know, they were blessed with a blessing of the authority, spiritual authority. So I met them at a JAMA conference. I don't know if you guys know what JAMA is, but it's like a big conference, a prayer conference. And, you know, I didn't recognize her, but she goes, "Hi, Pastor Jenny, how are you?" And so, you know, I got to meet her. And they were just truly a happy couple. I mean, they had kids. At the time, they were they just got married. But they had children, and they, you know, they were serving at that church, church that blessed them as praise leaders, worship leaders. And they were having a wonderful marriage. So it is so important when we do deliverance, when we do healing, that we bless them with the prayer of blessing. That is, that's it. So if you have any questions regarding healing or... Yes?
I
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Maybe that wasn't clear. I was counseling her, and she was telling me about the abuse, the husband's abuse. And so we were praying for healing from that. Obviously, she was so afraid that she had to go back to her husband, right? So we were praying, and as we're praying, and I prayed, "Jesus, you know, why did this have to happen? So where were you when all this was going on?" I pray, "Jesus, show yourself to her that, you know, that you were there." And that's when I saw in my vision a yellow flower. Jesus putting a yellow flower on a door handle. But to me as a counselor, I didn't know what that meant. You know, it was just like, I just saw a vision. But when I told her that, she recognized it because she was so afraid, you know, before her husband came. She used to, at the time, would go to a flower field of yellow flowers, and she would hide, you know, she would hide there. And then she would come out when, you know, the husband fell asleep. So the significance is that the yellow flower signifies Jesus' presence, that he was there, that she was not alone, you know, and that to let her know that that she knew what the kind of pain and suffering that she was going through. So that brought healing to her because she knew that she wasn't alone at the time. So. Yeah, a lot of times, as a counselor, it's very hard for me to, you know, see, "Jesus, where were you?" Even I have that question. Like, how come you didn't protect her? Or how come, you know, you were there, you were so passive, you know? But the strangest thing is, the person who's receiving counseling is that there's a place in their heart that it's not about making a perfect sense, you know, that Jesus protected her from actually what happened, but it really is about that a conviction that Jesus, that she is not alone in this world going through struggles, but Jesus is with her, and that Jesus made the way for healing to take place, that eventually that it took. And you know, as a Christians, of course, you know, we want to be protected and all those kind of things, but a lot of times that, you know, bad things do happen. You know, like the book said, bad things happen to good people, you know. But I think what's important is that person had a personal encounter with Jesus, and that she was set free, that she wasn't going through this alone, and that Jesus actually led her to seminary, that it wasn't like she was stuck there and was abused and, you know, that her life was completely ruined, but there was a redemption taking place. Okay? Okay, there are cases where, it's a good question actually. You know, there are cases where, for example, this one lady came to me. She went on a mission field. And then after she came back, every night there was this, like this problem. You know, she was seeing these like evil spirits, right? And so I prayed for her, and she realized that the evil spirit's name was like Melissa or something like that. She called herself Melissa. And so, you know, we prayed, and then we found out that when she was in a mission field, she prayed for this girl named Melissa. And she didn't connect all this time. But there was a demonic spirit that somehow entered into her, and that there was a problem with that kind of thing happening at night. Now, all she needed was one little prayer of deliverance, right? It just disappeared, right? So there are some times when, you know, we need inner healing or deliverance. It is very, like, quick, one-time prayer kind of thing that it could happen. But there are a lot of times when, especially if it's a generational tendencies, like you're bent towards something, you know, it could be, it's almost like your personality kind of thing. That is so intertwined with who you are, your identity, that it's hard to get rid of. For like shame, you know, you're always shame. You know, you live with the shame. You're comfortable in your shame. You're secure in your shame. You know, your shame makes you not have to do a lot of things. Okay, you don't want to get rid of that too easily. You want to keep it because it's an excuse. It's a crutch, right? So when that happens, your heart needs to be changed. And that heart changes not just through one inner healing session, but it's a succession of God working in you through many different, in the body, you know, where you feel secure, that you no longer have to rely on that kind of method for defense mechanism, but you have a loving family that accept you for who you are. You know, in discipleship, you need to know the word of God. You can't create something out of nothing. You can't create truth when you don't have anything in your mind about the word of God, you know? So the discipleship, the being equipped is very important. So in that case, it may take some time, you know? I've dealt with schizophrenia, mental illnesses, like identified mental illnesses. I met with this person for 6 months, every week. Now that's like commitment on my part, right? It's a big commitment, right? And that's why a lot of times that, you know, your pastor, you know, it's very hard for a pastoral staff to do because of that. Because, you know, you require a lot of patience and a lot of time. So it's wonderful to have within a church a ministry that deals with those kind of things. Like, you know, you guys have a prayer ministry, wonderful, you know, people that know how to pray in the spirit, that has natural inclination for that kind of, you know, giftedness. And those are the people that could really meet and do that kind of ministry.
Can I comment on that also? It's like spiritual chemotherapy. And I notice that sometimes what God does is heal certain areas of your life, and then if it's all come out instantaneously one time, then just like Jenny said, that is so much of you that you lose your identity. So we have a case where a lady was healed in a certain area. Several years later, the real issue emerged, and then in the process, she became healthy. So now she could handle the real issue. A lot of times we cannot handle the real issue. You know, in the movie, you can't handle truth, you know? the part where the truth really hurts. So a lot of times Jenny and I, we minister together. We, in a way, take out the small devils, you know? And then we wait for the real ones to merge later. And so it's been a weird, and some of you are like, oh, that's weird. Yeah, it is weird. You know, we cannot explain it because we don't live in a perfect world where everything's, you know, squeaky clean. It is kind of messy. But at times, even the she mentioned some lady about some issues that came out. It was funny how God dealt with her because she had woman's issue or mother issue. God used me to touch a major part of her life, and major healing came. But this is after like 5, 6, 7 years later. Now she's dealing with the real issue, and in the all that time she's been serving church and all that. That's great, and now she became healthier. Now she could really deal with that, the core issue. So I think it's like a chemotherapy.
Thank you. Any more questions? I'm going to take one more question. Okay. Then we're going to, Pastor Sam, is it okay to go into a little bit of prayer? Is it too late?
We got all the time in the world. Our people messed up, man.
Let's start with the pastor. No. No, you know what? But I'm joking around, but it's true. You know, pastors are the ones. Starting from my husband and myself. You know, we are dealing with a lot of people. You know, we're dealing with a lot of hurts. And hurt people hurt others. And I think that we really need to, you know, a lot of times we want to be intellectual in our Christian walk, but God is interested in healing the whole person, emotional as well. A lot of times the men, they're very comfortable with learning part of it, but to be able to be vulnerable and say, yeah, You know, I really do need healing. And I'm so proud of my husband, you know, that he finally admitted. But he, you know, he has some issues, and I could see he has issues. My congregation could see that he has issues, right? But, but you know, really, you know, like men for men, you know, the place that hurts is that when you touch on that person's importance or significance, when a man feels that, you know, that someone hurt them, and maybe even in a father-son relationship where father compared the other son or favored the other son over you, that's a very difficult thing, you know, because it's touching on your importance, your significance as a man, and it hurts very deeply. A lot of times that we just take it as a, well, suck it up, you know, I'm a strong man, I could take it, you know, I know it, and then that's it. But God doesn't want you to be like that, because it's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect you as a relationship, not only with, you know, husband and wife or, you know, your immediate family, but, you know, if God truly desires for you to be a kingdom builder, a one that really takes his kingdom and move forward and go deep and wide, you're going to have to take care of it. For a lot of the women, it's an issue of love. Security. When you feel fearful and feel rejected, and you feel unloved, or that there is so much condition on your love, there is a lot of deep hurts, that a lot of fears, and all these, you know, with the offense, he says all these unclean things gets built up. So I think this is the time for us to really pray and be really vulnerable and be honest. And I just want you to really close your eyes. I know this is relationship seminar, but I think both Pastor Sam and I feel that a large part of relationship deals with one another, with those people who are close to us, that who are important to us. Somehow that the relationship turned into something that is very painful and hurtful. I want you at this time just close your eyes and really just imagine. That there is a, you know, God has put you in a garden. And in this garden of your life, that there are many fruitfulnesses, fruitful trees. There are so many wonderful things and gifts that God has given you. He's made you strong. He's made you gifted. And He's even given you a place where you can really be fertile and grow and bear much fruit. We need to celebrate God's provision and God's goodness. Now I want you to imagine in this garden of your life, of your heart, is there things that does not belong? Like the dead branch I talked about. It's so much part of you and yet it does not belong. Could be in the area of unresolved relationships that those things that happened in the past. It could be about the fear that there's a perpetual fear, the irrational fear, and that no matter how much you try to get out of it, that there is that kind of fear of failure, fear of future, fear that you're not good enough, that you're not worthy. And you may also have some in the area of just really those habits that has mastered you and you can't break away from. Feels good at the time, but makes you feel so defeated. Makes you so small. And you cannot take the scepter of kingliness, godliness that God has given you, who you are supposed to be, sons and daughters of God, because of the things that holds you captive. It's not you, doesn't belong. You need to get rid of it, but you can't do it with yourself. So we ask you, Lord Jesus, come. Will you come to our garden? Will you show yourself to us? There's some of you that need to forgive someone. It could be something that it's very deep. It could be your mom or your dad. And you know, you could have good relationship with them right now, but it could be a memory of the, like the bitter root judgment you had about them when you're young. Something they've said that made you feel so angry, so hard to forgive. Something that they did that made you feel so rejected, so confused. I want you at this time to recognize that. To recognize that those things are that does not belong in your heart, in your whole being. Some of you guys have relationship in the past and there's a tie that you can't somehow break away from it. Even though maybe the relationship was over a long time ago, but that the memory of it still persists. It makes you feel so hurt. What if you constantly think, what if it was like this? What if it was like that? What if I did it differently? I think God is saying to you, you need to let go. You need to let go if you want to gain back the relationship in a healthy way. You need to let go of those things that has been holding you captive and making you struggle, holding on to things that it doesn't have life, it's just dead. Come, Holy Spirit. There's people here that's been really hurt deeply. It's like someone got a screw and then just like it just didn't happen just once. It just kind of like dug into your flesh like over and over again that caused you to have so much pain. And you know, it's been there for a long time, so it's dull, but yet it's just so painful. And you want to get rid of it, but you just don't even know where to begin. And God wants to speak to you, and He says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. You know, being a Christian is not about doing the good works. It's about submitting. There's a big difference. That it doesn't rely on your effort, but it's about surrendering. Because when you surrender to the Lord, it is His strength, His power that works through us. It seems same, but different. It is not same. The sweet surrender to the person who loves us, who cares for us, that who will deliver us from a place of sin and place of destruction and deception. He can do it. Even though we feel we can't do it, but He can do it. The only responsibility that we have is that we surrender to Him. Holy Spirit, come. We pray for your comfort, Lord. Lord, we pray that you make the soil of our heart tender. Lord, you are good. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. of the things that we have caused, the things that we have done that brought bondage, that caused pain. Lord, we also forgive those that have trespassed against us, that offended us. Lord, we ask that you give a heart of forgiveness, Lord, that we may forgive as you have forgiven us. Take us back to remembering those things, Lord, at this time. As we go back to childhood, as we go back to our past, those people that have offended us, Holy Spirit, come and remind us who they are and how we feel at the time. Lord, help us to see with your eyes, the eyes that we did not have before when we were going through these things. But now, Lord, open up our eyes to see what actually happened and how we felt. And Jesus, we pray that, Lord, that you who are omniscient, omnipresent, go back, Lord, to those times, Lord. Lord, we ask, Lord, help us to see you during those times. How you minister to us. There's someone here in this place that still struggling with doubt because, you know, the vision that God's giving me is like a train on a hill. And the train, when it's making a turn into a hill, it could only see a certain portion of the hill, but it can't see as it goes around to the other side. And I feel like God is saying, some of you guys have just a limited vision. You can't see beyond certain things because you're afraid because you can't see it. You just feel like that there's nothing beyond that. And Jesus is saying that there is a way. You just don't see it. You can't see the way. But I will, if you trust in me. I have made the way for you. Oh, Father. Lord, as we repent, as we submit before you our sins, and as we forgive those who have trespassed against us, we ask, Lord, that the power that enemy has on us, those strongholds of fear, shame, sadness, even a spirit of death, deception, confusion, anger, and hatred, Lord, that we ask, like those strongholds will be broken in our lives, Lord. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. And I want you to agree with me as I do a prayer of deliverance. Because God has given you an authority. Jesus said, when I go to my Father, He will send you a Holy Spirit, and He will come upon you and be in you, and that you will be able to do more than what I did. more things than these that I have performed, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And Jesus Christ, the anointed lives in you. If you are a Christian, all of you have the authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to proclaim the good news of God's favor and blessings. It is rightfully ours, that Satan wants to take it away and say that you can't. You are powerless. Who do you think you are? But we know who we are. When our identity in Christ is solid, and that we know that it is not us that are thinking these things or doing these things. It is really the deception of the enemy. Let's not no longer participate in these things, but let's separate it. So in the name of Jesus, I command you, you spirit of anger, hatred, unforgiveness, you spirit of judgment, deception, confusion, condemnation, I command you to go and get out of me. You do not belong in my life. I command you to go to the feet of Jesus. Your spirit of death, depression, sadness, grief. Pay attention, for you do not belong in this room. You do not belong in my life. I command you in the name of Jesus. Get out. Get out of me. And go to the feet of Jesus now. Oh, Father, you spirit of defeat, confusion, deception, you spirit of adultery, division, lust, fornication, you unclean perversion, I command you in the name of Jesus, get out of me. Oh Lord, those of us here that are, our hearts are struggling to let go, for it has been part of us for so long. Lord, we ask, Lord, that show us something that is better than these things. Lord, that is better and far more joyful and pleasurable than these things that has been binding us, and taking us to be much less than who we are. Your deception that says that you can't live without it. You're a liar. You're a spirit of lying. I command you in the name of Jesus. All these unclean things, come together and get out and go to the feet of Jesus. You do not belong in my emotions, my mind, and my body. Spirit of victimization, helplessness, hopelessness, failure, defeat. Confusion, obsession. I command you in the name of Jesus. Get out of my mind and go to the feet of Jesus now. Spirit of false prophecy, pride, arrogance, deception, greed. Vanity. I command you in the name of Jesus. Get out. Go to the feet of Jesus now. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your wonderful mercy and grace. Lord, you desire to expose these things that of our sins that you may heal. And that you cut off those branches that we may bear much fruit. Father, we thank you, Lord. We pray for your covering over us. And as we go to lunch and as we fellowship, we pray for your true covering and that, Lord, that you just continue to minister, Lord, your Spirit upon us, Lord. Father, we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.